Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes. I got a chair for you. So why don't you pull it up, sit down, grab a snack, grab a beverage, and we're going to talk about what I think is a very interesting command of Jesus. Keep it to yourself. That's what he said so many times when he would heal somebody. Remember that in the Gospels? He would say, don't tell anybody about this. And yet it seems like every time he said that, what did the person do? That person shared the news with everyone they met. They couldn't keep it to themselves. As I was listening to the gospel at today's daily mass, it's funny. We'll talk a little bit about this as we go forward in the program. But I heard something in the first reading, and I was going to share. You know what? I'll let you know what that was. We'll talk about that. And that was going to be, I thought that's where the Holy Spirit was leading me for both this program and for my email daily reflection. I thought, all right, I've got it. I've got my idea for today. And that's really how the Holy Spirit typically works with me. He gives me an idea. Something will stand out. I ask before we start, all right, Holy Spirit, please, you know, give me the message for today, whatever it is. And something will stand out. And sometimes there won't be anything in the readings, and I'll go elsewhere. But I like to try to stick with the daily mass readings for this program and for my email reflection as well. And the reason I do that is because I feel that it forces me to listen to the Holy Spirit. I can go on my own and open the Bible or pick material from one of my books and use that reflection. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I like to try to challenge myself, if you want to call it that, and let the Holy Spirit work through me. In other words, I don't make it easy for myself. I really want the Spirit to tell me, because I've got my favorite verses. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's generally not the way I operate with this show. I want to really let the Holy Spirit speak to me in ways that might not be comfortable for me, right? So I deal with the daily mass readings, and for the most part, I say, all right, Spirit, give me something, if you would, from these readings. Anyway, he gave me one thing, or so I thought, but then I heard something in the gospel, this idea of Jesus saying to someone, keep this to yourself, don't tell anybody about this. And then it immediately got me to thinking, well, how about all these people that he told this to? Did anybody ever keep the secret? And why in the world was he saying this in the first place? That bothers me. It always did. Does that bother you when Jesus would say, keep this quiet, and then the person doesn't? Well, didn't he know that they were going to blab? And was that wrong that they blabbed? Did they do the wrong thing by sharing Jesus? I thought that's what we're supposed to do. You know, at least these questions start going around in my head. So I decided that's what we're going to talk about today, and that's what I was going to write about. The good news here is you and I can talk about it in greater depth than I could on my email reflection. So we are going to talk about that and what it means. And I think it's a really good message. I think there's a certain depth to this whole thing, and if we just play, you know, let go through the whole thing and let it play out, there's a really critical message and a bit of a challenge too. And I always like the messages that are challenging, because we really, ideally, and this is not normally the way I operate or I like to operate. You know, I always try to be honest with you. So this isn't the way I normally like to operate, but I know it's the way I need to operate when it comes to sacred scripture. The easiest thing to do when we read the Bible is to say, oh, that's a great message, I like that, and then don't do anything about it. Just, you know, get the message, internalize it, and say, that's cool. But really, what we should do when it comes to the Word of God is to open it up, to let God speak to us through His Word, and then put it into practice. And that's where it gets challenging. You know, this this Christianity stuff, it's a lot easier in theory, and when we just practice it in our heads, than when we actually go out into the world, because it gets ugly out there, doesn't it? It's not that easy. It's easy to love your enemy in your head. Well, sometimes it's not, but it's easier to love your enemy in your mind than it is to go out there and say, I'm going to love this person. I will love my enemy. I will love this enemy. And then the person who we're trying to love, our quote-unquote enemy, is nasty or is very argumentative or isn't cooperative. And then it becomes more difficult. It's much more challenging to live out your Christianity in the real world than it is in your mind. And that's a constant struggle that I face. I have to force myself to take God's word and put it into practice, to do something, to act on it in a concrete way, other than to just make a mental note and say, that's a really good point, and I like that. So, you know, I'm sorry, but you're going to be challenged too. If I'm getting challenged, I'm not going through this alone. I'm going to challenge you too when we look at this and really put out a question to make you think about something. And it's something that I have to think about too. So we will think together. Does that sound good? All right. I'm going to take a sip of my nice cold cup of water to make sure that I am equipped to get through the rest of this show. And how about if we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here for us once again. Father, as I look around, I can't see you. I can't feel you either. But boy, do I know you're present. I know that you are present, and I know by faith that you can see all of us, that you can hear me, that you are going to respond to our prayers today. That even though we might not be able to see you responding, we know that you will respond in some way to the prayers that we are sending up right now, Father. We also know that you are all-powerful. We know that you love us with an unconditional love. We know, Father, that you can handle any problem that we will present to you. We know, Father, that we don't have to understand everything that you do because you're God and we're not. And we recognize that just because we don't understand something you do doesn't mean that we shouldn't trust you. So, Father, we pray for that grace to trust you more this day. We thank you for allowing us to remain alive. We thank you for letting us be able to address you in prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to understand, even if it's in a small way, some of what you're all about. We can see that through your creation. Even though we don't fully understand you, you allow us to understand a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you do it. Father, we ask you to watch over and protect us and our families. Keep us free from all dangers, spiritual as well as material. Father, we ask that you use us as your instruments in the world. Help us to sow peace wherever we go. Help us to be instruments of good. Help us to love all those we encounter, including our enemies. Father, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. And we pray today for a special, brand new outpouring of your Spirit. I ask you, through your Spirit, to give me the words that I'm supposed to use for the message on today's show. And I ask that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can hear and respond to your message this day. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look, I totally believe he heard those prayers. I really do. I believe that he heard those prayers, and he will answer them. But, you know, not always immediately, and not always in the way we expect. That's the way God works. We talked about this earlier in the week. And it's really true. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it make sense that if he really is all-knowing and he is all-powerful and we're not even close, doesn't it make sense that sometimes we get it wrong and we're asking for things that might hurt us or at this point in time, things that are not good for us? It makes sense. So therefore, what's the Father going to do? He's not just going to give us the thing because it's not really good for us. Again, even though we think it is. Or he's not going to give it to us prematurely, because right now might not be the best time. He's going to sometimes say no and sometimes just hold back. It really does make sense. I know, but it's not easy. I know. I really get it. Because we get locked into thinking a certain way. This is what I want. I need this. We don't. Maybe it's not always what we need. You know, maybe it's just what we want. So I believe in praying for the continued ability to decrease and let the Lord increase, and pray for the greater ability to, like Jesus, always desire the will of the Father instead of our own will. You know, that's a prayer. That's a good prayer. Or maybe if there's something that is causing a rift between you and God in your life, something that you know is getting in the way. Maybe you just like to waste all your money buying toys and junk, and even maybe things that are sinful, you know, like really bad stuff. Pray for, if you really want to get close to the Lord and you feel that you're struggling in these areas, you know, you're spending all your money on going out to eat and instead of helping the poor or donating to charity or buying some good spiritual resources, right? Pray for a decrease. Pray for the Lord to change your desires. That I've seen that happen in my life. I really have. I've seen it happen, and my interests have changed. You know, you just can't force yourself to say, all right, that's it. I'm not going to buy any fun stuff anymore. I'm just going to buy Bibles and religious books. You can't force yourself to do that. That desire is not going to be there. But I've seen it in my life change. And as I've gotten closer to Jesus, my wants have changed. I want different things. My books are now really, I don't remember the last time I bought a non-spiritual book. And I'm not telling you that to make you think that that's all you can read. No, it's, you can read other stuff too. But my desires have changed. And I still watch mindless TV every now and then. It's okay. But I really get into programs and music and books that bring me closer to God. I mean, that's, my desires have changed. So if you're struggling with that, just pray about it. And again, I still like rock music, classic rock music. I like all kinds of oldies. I mean, I've got musical taste all over the place. And I had a spiritual director one time who said, Gary, it's okay to flip your radio onto some classic rock every now and again. As long as it's not offensive. He said, all music really comes from God, and it does. Not all of it has the same spiritual benefit, but any enjoyment that we have in life really is coming from God. So I'm not saying go off the deep end and just listen to non-religious music, but look, it's okay sometimes. It really is. Don't let yourself get all stressed out about that. And by the way, this was from a Polish monk who told me this, believe it or not. I really didn't expect it to come from him, but he said, hey, Gary, chill out a little bit. It's okay. Every now and then, you know, you don't have to, everything you listen to doesn't have to be spiritual. Because I get weird like that. Anyway, I just told you I'm weird. So the cat's out of the bag. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But hey, it's great to be with you. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. You know the story. I come to you each day, Monday through Friday. And then we have the weekend show, the Gary Zimek show, where I look at the Mass readings for the upcoming Sunday's Mass. That show is going to be available tomorrow for you to download. You can get that where you get this podcast as well. But I am glad you're here with me now. If you're a new listener to the program, please accept my welcome. I'm so glad to have you here. And if you'd like to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. You know, I just did get a request for a speaking engagement later in the spring, and I had to cancel everything in conjunction, in agreement, the church has agreed with me too, with the exception of one parish mission, which I'm doing at my local parish here in New Jersey, because I can get in and out safely, and we really have it structured so that there's not going to be really any contact between the attendees and myself. It's sad, but it's really the way it has to be right now. But if you've got possibly a speaking engagement, you'd like to bring me in for the fall at a conference or a church, shoot me a request through followingthetruth.com. There's a link on the website where you can inquire about bringing me in to speak. I really want to get out and start speaking again. And it looks like we're headed in the right direction now with the vaccine and the numbers, at least here in New Jersey, ever so slightly beginning to dip again. I think we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel with this COVID pandemic. So let's talk about it. If you want to bring me out to speak, especially if it's happening in the fall of 2021 or next year, it's not too early to start booking for next year, shoot me a message through followingthetruth.com for more information, okay? I'm excited about that, though. I have, as far as, and I'm keeping in touch with a lot of other Catholic speakers, and everybody's been shut down, and I don't know any churches that are really starting to book actively again, at least for the near future. But in the distant future, later on this year, I think it's going to start to pick up. Anyway, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. So I was telling you the story today of the daily mass readings and how I thought I should be speaking about one message, then something else hit me. And I recommend you do the same thing too. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you when you read the mass readings. And I love the daily mass readings. I've been asked before, what's a good way to read the Bible? I think if you're not familiar with the Bible, or even if you are familiar with the Bible, one of the best things you can do is to go to the daily mass readings and look and really let the church lead you through the Bible. And that way you're not locked into looking to your favorite verses. Again, I love that. That's good. I've got a gazillion favorite verses, especially when it comes to overcoming anxiety. But it's also nice to just be led by Christ through his church. And the daily mass readings are perfect for that. So either get yourself a copy of a missal or one of the magazines that has the mass readings, the Magnificat, the Word Among Us, or Give Us This Day. There's different ones that allow you to subscribe. And each month you get the daily mass readings, or you just go online to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, which is usccb.org, and each day look at the daily mass readings, and there's other services that provide them as well. And before you read them, you know, every day, just read them and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me an idea. Let me know what you want me to get from this. And typically, I would focus on one particular theme. One sentence, one phrase, keep it simple. Don't feel you have to understand every last detail, because I tend to get like that. That's my tendency, and I've driven myself crazy for years. And then you're not getting anything. You're getting overwhelmed with the details. But ask for a particular theme or a thought or a verse or a word or something like that, and then see what strikes your attention. And let the Holy Spirit work with you and assume that that's coming from the Spirit. Okay, so today's first reading is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the first sentence because that's what I thought I was supposed to talk about. It's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. Now, what hit me about that particular sentence or that verse is the idea that Jesus can save those who approach God through him, who approach God, who make the effort to approach God. So in order to be saved, it can be done, but it requires action on my part. And we're talking about salvation, to be able to live eternally with God in heaven. How does that happen? It happens through Jesus, who has redeemed me on the cross. My salvation occurs through Jesus as I approach God the Father. But I've got to make the initiative. I've got to do something. So that's a really good message, because it's easy to sometimes think that, well, Jesus has to do all the work, or God the Father has to do the work. He's reaching out to me, and he is. But you're not going to make it to heaven if you don't respond. You know, we have limited control over what we can do in this world. God gives us limited control, but he gives us the ability to respond to his invitation. And that's what I really liked about that, those who approach God through Jesus. So if I have a desire to live in heaven, my prayer should be, it should begin with, God, I want to live with you in heaven. And on this day, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord, and I surrender my life to him. And that's how it starts. But did you see, you have to do something. You have to do something. And if you're Catholic and you're listening to this, you're saying, whoa, that doesn't sound like Catholic theology, but it is. See, we as Catholics believe that we receive, and this is, I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but we as Catholics believe that we receive the Holy Spirit the first time when we are baptized, unlike our Protestant brothers and sisters who believe that the Holy Spirit is received when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. A big difference there. But if you're Catholic and you receive the Holy Spirit, and you just go through the motions and you never invite Jesus to take over your life and to surrender to his lordship, then you still are not doing what's required. You got to, at some point, you're never going to get to heaven without surrendering your life to him. You know, and it's not a one and done deal. It's something you do every day. And for years, I went through the motions. I didn't know that. So, yes, you do have to make that decision to surrender your life to Christ, to admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Because if you don't make the admission, you don't need a Savior, at least in your mind, right? So, yes, you have the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. But the Holy Spirit's kind of just lying in wait there. And St. John Paul II talked about that, how the power of the sacrament of baptism, and really all the sacraments, they can be sort of bound, tied up, until you actively untie them and say, look, I want this power of the Holy Spirit working in me. Jesus, I accept you. So anyway, I thought that was a great message from the first reading. But then I heard the gospel. Let me read that to you. This is Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him, also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. Now that impressed me too. Jesus cured many. You know, if you look through the Gospels, there was never a person who approached Jesus for healing who was not healed. If you got a disease, pray for healing. He doesn't always heal as quick as you would like, in the way you would like, but the Lord can cure your disease, whatever it is. At least give him the chance, okay? And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. Now, this is a specific case here, but we see this throughout healing, whether he's healing or driving a demon out of somebody, or whether he is healing a person of an illness. Many times Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. Don't tell anybody about this healing. Why would he do that? That bugs me. It's always bugged me. Well, I've heard it said that Jesus didn't want to be known as a miracle worker. He didn't want to be known as somebody who just healed illnesses. He wanted to be able to preach and deliver a message. He wanted to be a teacher as well as a healer. You know, his job was to reveal the Father to us. And so sometimes he would say, don't tell anybody this. And yet it seemed like every time that this happened, people would tell everybody. They would ignore what Jesus said. And I've heard a homily one time where a priest said, well, this person wasn't obeying. This person wasn't being obedient to Jesus, which might be true. But I think it when we take that approach, when we look at, go down that path, I think we miss the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, at least in my mind, is these people couldn't keep their mouth shut. That encounter with Jesus was so powerful to them that they couldn't be quiet about it. Well, why does Jesus have to mention this time and time again? And why do the gospel writers feel the need to include this information? Well, for one thing, I mean, this is my opinion, but we can learn something from this. The fact that Jesus told these people to be quiet and not spread the word, and they couldn't, tells us that something overtook them, that they weren't even hearing what he was saying, that they were so excited and grateful by what he did for them that they had to share it with others. Now, every one of us has the opportunity to have that encounter or an encounter with Jesus every day. Some of us have been healed in numerous ways, maybe even today. How many people have you told about what Jesus has done in your life? Do you have that desire? And if he told you, hey, keep this to yourself, I don't want the word to get out, how would you respond? This is the challenging part of this message. Are you sharing the good news of Jesus with those around you? Because somebody needs to hear what he's done in your life. This really gets me, and I think it's something that you need to hear as well. It's a challenging message. What are we doing to let others know about what Jesus has done in our lives? Go tell somebody about him today, because I think they need to hear about him. All right, so that's the, it's like, oh no, now I have homework, right? But look, we do. We need to do. I'm telling you about Jesus. He's changed my life. Surrendering my life to him made all the difference. He's an amazing wonder worker. I'm telling you, he is one cool guy. Very amazing. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus, okay? Online, in person, through a text, however you have to do it. In your home, let somebody know, okay? Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I got to run. God willing, I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow around the table at Following the Truth. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. You are in my daily prayers. I mean that. God bless you. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you next time. See ya.